Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. While we're all stuck and shut in, I think it's only best we self-quarantine. But we can still tell stories of camping trips. But we can take one in our mind, I guess. These stories, as always, were sent in by viewers just like you, and are allegedly true. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a camping story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. The more stories we can get sent during these quarantines, the longer these videos will be. So definitely send in your stories. Helping me out today is my friend, Lady Spookaria. She runs a great horror-based channel that I'm sure you all will love. And if you're looking for extra content after this, I'd definitely check her out. You can find the link to do so in the description down below. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy, allegedly true camping stories that'll creep you out tonight. So I am a very avid paramotor pilot. I fly a lot, and absolutely love going sightseeing in new places. I had two other friends from childhood, let's call them Mark and Tim. They didn't fly paramotors like me, as they were both afraid of heights. Well, one day Tim invited me and Mark to go on a camping trip with him, and his family to Louisiana. I, of course, thinking of my favorite hobby, asked if there would be any room for my paramotor. He said, well, we're taking two sprinters, so there should be. Hearing that, I agreed to go. Now, just to keep in mind, Tim lived in Connecticut, just a few miles north of Cornwall Bridge. As I had gotten there a few hours before Mark did, I decided to go flying. The weather was good. I checked Sky Vector for air restrictions, attached my cameras, did my pre-flight, and took off. It was a relatively cloudy day, and I was flying south from where we were at. My favorite thing to do was treetopping. I love flying just a few feet above the trees, or at least, I did. As I kept flying, I eventually came across a small stream, which I know now to be Bonnie Brook. I turned in its direction, and just kept flying into the woods following the stream. Well, something really weird started to happen. I flew past two trees full of crows on each side of me. What was creepy about them was they didn't move. They were just sitting there, staring at me, as I flew by. And the reason that was creepy was, if you know anything about paramotors, these things are loud, and birds would always fly away if they heard one, but not a single one of these crows even flinched. It didn't faze them at all. So, being curious, I circled around them a few times trying to see what's up with them. As I did that, I noticed their heads would always follow me everywhere I turned. I would do a full circle, and they would too. They would all turn around and look straight at me. At one point, testing the limits of my curiosity and trying to scare them off, I hit full throttle and flew within like 7 feet of them, and they still didn't move. As funny as it may sound, their heads just tilted to the side, and they, the best way I can put it, kind of looked at me like I'm an idiot. They had that, what is this guy doing, kind of look. So I just thought to myself, whatever, it's just a bunch of weird birds, and kept flying. Well, about a half mile later, I noticed those weird crows were trailing behind me. Not right behind me, but like 300 to 400 feet behind me. Every time I would do a turn to look back, they stopped and landed on the trees. I start flying again, and they start following. They never did get any closer than 300 feet to me, but even so, that scared the crap out of me, and I squeezed it to full throttle to try and lose them. I did lose them, only to run into another 2 trees full of crows. Except, for this time, when I flew past these crows, almost immediately, I kid you not, I could not hear my motor behind me. It felt like I entered another dimension or something, and the vibe there was just hair-raising creepy. Which was weird because to my eyes, everything looked normal. Broad daylight, trees and a stream below me. But the feeling of dread I was feeling was as if I was flying over a mile-wide volcano. I literally didn't even care why the motor was quiet. I was so scared. I had the motor on full throttle and all I could think was, I gotta get the heck out of here. I climbed out like 3,000 feet and eventually could see over the hill, all the way to the highway to on my right. I think it was Warren Hill Road that I saw. Well, slowly the feeling of dread was leaving me, and when I pulled myself together, I flew back to Tim's house. By the time I got there, Mark had already arrived, and he and Tim were playing video games. Of course, I didn't waste any time. I immediately detached the cameras from my paramotor and showed them what happened. Oddly enough, nothing that I've seen with my eyes showed up on that camera. Not the crows, not the motor being quiet, nothing. Of course, they told me I was tripping. Tim's dad even joked, so which one was it, tequila or Jack Daniels? I vehemently defended my story. I never drink and fly. I told them, and no matter what I said, the jokes just kept coming. No, Zane, well, you weren't drinking. You probably just forgot your helmet and hit a tree branch on the way there. Like, I'm not a Catholic, but I almost had to cross myself to prove I wasn't tripping. But finally, after we fought over it, Mark said, you know, let's drive out there and check it out. Maybe we'll see them too. I immediately agreed because at this point I had the reputation of a nutcase. And Tim, not wanting to rock the boat, also agreed. Well, as we were driving there, I recognized one of the roads that I flew over. That kind of led to where I saw the crows. It was the road that had the only house directly across from it. Or, as I now know, Bald Mountain Road. Now, when we turned on it, apparently Tim recognized it too and became very agitated and tried to get us to turn around and leave. Even after the fact, years later, he never did tell me why. All he kept saying was, guys, let's get out of here. And Mark, as always, you could almost bet money on it, if he said it, Tim was going to shut up. Mark went, Tim, quit being a pussy. And lo and behold, Tim shut up. And I'm not gonna lie, being with Mark, he really did feel safe. The dude was 6'3", ripped, and never afraid of anything. This is the kind of guy who would go into somebody's face and would start swinging if they did anything. So I felt pretty safe. Well, that all changed. As we got to the top of the hill, we parked the car right in front of the old metal gate and proceeded to hike to the stream I was flying over. And about a half a mile in, as we were walking, Tim started saying, "Did you hear that?" We assumed he was messing with us, and we said no. He then said it again. Did you hear that? There's like a knocking sound coming straight ahead of us. Mark said, Tim quit being a wuss. If there was a knocking sound, we would have all heard it. We kept on walking, but Tim kept saying the same thing. Mark said, Tim, if you're going to be such a scaredy cat, at least make yourself useful. Take the keys and go watch the car. Tim did not protest at all. He grabbed the keys and hightailed it. Now this was in late September, and around 6:20 p.m., and we noticed immediately that as soon as Tim left, it was starting to get really, really dark. And I mean we had to use our phone flashlights to see what was in front of us. We kept walking until we came across what looked like an old stone foundation. And that is where the same creepy feeling came over me again. Almost immediately I noticed that aside from the two of us, there was no other sound. However, because Mark was talking most of the way there, he didn't even notice, or was just trying to be the tough guy and pretend he didn't notice. Either way, his calm attitude did put me at a little bit of an ease. Well, a little way up we came across another foundation, and Mark gasped in a sarcastic voice. "Oh no, run, it's a deer." And truly, there really was a deer standing 15 feet across from us, just on the other side of the stone wall. And let me stress this, it was definitely a real deer. It was not a costume or a remote-controlled robot. Had skinny legs like a deer, teeth, tail, everything. We were 15 feet from it, and it was definitely a real animal. Of course, we thought nothing of it. Okay, it's a deer. And we just kept on hiking. It wasn't until after we reached Bonnie Brook, the stream I flew over, that the real creepy thing started happening. So what happened was, while we were at the brook, Mark, with the help of his flashlight, picked up a really odd-looking rock in the water, which, mind you, looked like a perfect pentacle. He put it in his pocket, and we started heading back. And almost immediately, I got the feeling that something or someone was watching us. We walked for a while, and it went on from a feeling to hearing it. I'm not joking. We started hearing two tapping sounds for every 6 to 7 trees that we passed. It started as tapping, which Mark dismissed as woodpeckers, to then two knocking sounds, kind of like a knock with a coffee cup on a table, which he also dismissed as woodpeckers, to then two heavy thud sounds, which he could no longer dismiss as anything. That was the moment that Mark went completely still, and the first time I've ever seen sheer terror on his face. It was what got me scared more than anything, because I was kind of following his lead. But when I saw that, that's when I could no longer dismiss these things either, as it was not just in my head. My friend was standing right there next to me and was just as terrified as I was. It was definitely real. And when I told myself that, it's almost as if he did the same exact thing, because we stood there in utter terror, completely still and silent for a whole 2 or 3 minutes. When nothing happened, Mark said to me very quietly, "All right, on three. We are going to go take off at full speed, okay?" I nodded yes, and on three, we took off running. He was definitely running faster than me, and I yelled after him to slow down, which thank God he did. We ran like I'd say 2/3 of the way, when we got tired and stopped to catch our breath. We did the absolute dumbest thing we could ever do when running from the paranormal. We turned around with our flashlights and looked back to see whether anything was following us. And what we saw sent us running and screaming like two escaped mental patients. Just there, 35 or 40 feet from us, was a very familiar face. It was the deer from earlier, except it was standing on its hind legs peeking out from behind a tree, and with its front leg, it was giving up the common "come here" motion. For the first 3 seconds we stood there in disbelief, and only after, in a terror-filled voice, Mark uttered the words, "Is that a deer telling us to..." He never finished that sentence. We ran screaming like two lunatics. We even ran past Tim in the car, who thank God heard us and followed after us. About an hour later, I eventually snapped out of it, telling myself things like a deer can't do stuff like that. It's just impossible. It was definitely in my head. Maybe it was carbon monoxide or radiation or some other hallucinogenic gas we inhaled. But no way can a deer do that. Mark also snapped out of it and we went camping as planned. The odd thing about him is after we went back, neither I nor Tim ever heard from him again. Not by phone, not by email, or anything. After doing some really hard thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that it was probably something to do with that pentacle rock that we had picked up. Yes, everything we saw that day was real. We both saw it. Our reaction was the same. How does a hallucinogenic drug show two people the exact same thing at the exact same time on a consistent basis? So guys, in my conclusion, stay the heck away from Dudleytown if that's at all possible for you.
I was 13 when this happened. Winter 2018, me and my friend Jenny really got into skiing. There's a lot of snow because we live in Norway. Usually, we went with her dad, but this time we didn't. Everything was great. We were laughing so hard I could barely breathe. But then, we were on a trail that takes us home, so there's something you have to know. The trail is kinda like a T. It's like a right line, so when we saw that the man was coming towards us, we went into that turn. It's kind of confusing. So my friend is a lot better at skiing than I am, so I was behind her and I looked back and saw that man. Keep in mind, we were 300 feet away from him, so we think that he ran towards us when he took that turn, but then slowed down when we could see him. He kept on walking, and then I saw behind me again, and I saw he turned and began sprinting towards us. So I yelled at my friend, "He's coming!" Then we began to run with our skis, but that didn't work, so I had to take off my skis. Finally, I managed to get them off. I was running so fast, but my skis kept falling because I was holding them in my hand, and at this point I could taste blood in my mouth. I was tired, I just wanted to stop, but I couldn't. Finally, we made it up a hill, and that's the path that gets us into the neighborhood. We then kind of stopped because we thought that he was gone. I looked into my friend's eyes and her pupils were so big, I instantly knew what we ran into. The neighbor and I dropped my ski, but I didn't care. So here's where the miracle happened. Me and my friend are neighbors, just on the opposite side, so her house is closest. Her house is usually locked, but when we ran to the front door, it was unlocked. We ran inside and her mom said, "Are you guys okay?" And we told her everything. We started bawling. Her mum called my dad and he went looking for my ski and the man. He wasn't skiing. He had on black clothing. They found my ski, but I am never going skiing alone again. Never think things like this can't happen to you. It can.
When I think back to this story, I wish it really wasn't true. For some background, I have always loved listening to scary stories and have been so oblivious to the real world and the reality we live in where anything can happen and things can change in split seconds. This story, whether you believe it or not, is true. This started right after Christmas. One of my best friends, who I'll refer to as Jack, just got a new tent for Christmas. It was a really nice three-person tent, which would give us two plenty of space when we went camping. Conveniently, the week after Christmas, the weather jumped up to about 60 degrees, which we took full advantage of. We decided we would go on a two-night camp in our nearby state forest. Now, we were very familiar with it and were not the least bit afraid of the woods, the dark, or any creatures roaming in the night. We set out on Monday morning through his backyard, which led straight into the woods. After about 3 hours of hiking, we found a decent spot to set up our first night's camp. There weren't many designated campsites in our state forest, so we always chose to find a small clearing to set up camp in. This camp was on a small hill, which gave us a cool view onto the trail below. We had gathered some firewood and started a small fire, and at this point, it was probably around 7 or 8 p.m., which meant it was getting pretty dark. We ended up hanging it up for the night at around 10 p.m., I do believe, because we were both very tired from the hike. I don't really remember every detail, so please bear with me. I fell asleep before my head hit the pillow, but was soon woke up by a noise outside. It sounded like footsteps, but I couldn't tell from what. They were slow and definitely from a bipedal creature. Now, it could be a human. That would be very unlikely, I thought to myself, because we were very far from any civilization in any other campsites. I woke my friend up, who immediately caught on to the situation. While we sat there for a while, just waiting, listening, probably about 10 minutes just doing nothing, when the footsteps suddenly stopped. They just stopped. They didn't fade away, but just, like, halted. I still remember this so vividly for whatever reason. We stayed up but ended up falling asleep again, assuming whatever was out there had somehow left without us hearing. We awoke the next morning with the sun, honestly completely forgetting about the previous night's event. We went on with our normal breakfast, packed up, and hiked another 2 hours or so to a larger clearing, and chose here to set up camp. We did the usual, set a fire, ate, talked for hours, and went to the tent to sleep. However, this night, the footsteps came before we even fell asleep. This time, they were different, though. They sounded more human, if that makes sense. Out of nowhere, Jack mumbled what sounded like, "I'm done with this," and climbed out of the tent. It took me a second to comprehend, but I followed after, realizing what he just did. But when I stepped out, he was gone. Now, the clearing was too big for him to just up and disappear, or even run to the tree line. I called his name, but I got no response. I called his phone, and I hear it ring. It was from inside the tent. I shined my flashlight around the clearing, but saw absolutely nothing. But at this point, it was way too dark to go looking for him. So I prayed to God that he ran after something and would be back momentarily. Once again, I fell asleep from being so tired. I woke up even earlier this time, confused. I was on the ground at our last campsite. This campsite was miles away, much too far to walk in the night. I was completely baffled and had no idea what to do. I had nothing but the flashlight and the phone that was in my hand when I fell asleep. I again called Jack straight to the voicemail this time. I started to freak out, knowing something was seriously wrong. I had no food and was a minimum of 3 miles from civilization. I started my hike, moving as fast as possible while keeping a good pace. Nothing occurred on the hike back, but when I reached my friend's house, I immediately ran inside yelling for his parents. I told them everything and they called the police. I told the police what happened, and we went out to both campsites on ATVs. We found our tent the way I left it, but Jack's phone was no longer there. There was no sign of Jack, but no one had seen anything that had made us think it was an animal attack or a kidnapping. The hardest thing for me to say is that almost 2 years later, we still have no idea what happened to Jack. First of all, this is not my story, this is my grandpa's story. Now let's get into it. When my grandpa was 14 to 15 years old, they went to a summer camp with a couple of friends. The camp was in the middle of a forest next to a little river that connects to a lake where my grandpa's quote-unquote gang was hanging out, whenever they had free time or whenever they could. My grandpa told me they heard something on the first day in the woods when they were walking to the camp. It was something agile and fast, but they shushed it as some kind of animal. When the first night came, they heard something banging on the door. They checked it out, but no one was there. They thought maybe someone was just messing with them. The next day rolled around, and this is the day of doom, as my grandpa called it. They had a little campfire in the woods with some other campers. The other campers said goodbye and returned to their cabins. After the other campers returned, something, like a big branch, snapped behind them. It was so loud that it was unusual. Being the teens they were, they went and investigated. They saw thin, human-like footsteps leading to the lake. They went around the lake following the footsteps. It leads to a cave-like structure. They couldn't make it out. It was so dark. They went in just a little bit, and my grandfather regretted that move for his entire life. As soon as they went in, their noses were hit with a disgusting smell. It was so bad they could even taste it. As their eyes adjusted to the darkness, they made out corpses of animals stacked on top of each other. Some of them had their chest ripped open. Next to a stack of animals in that very spot, a tall, thin creature sat eating a deer. A full-sized deer like something my grandfather has never observed before. The creature had spikes coming out of its back. The creature looked at them as it rose from its position. It was even taller than they thought, and my grandpa mentioned those yellow, menacing eyes drilling into their soul. It seemed like hours as they exchanged sights, but luckily his friend grabbed his arm and pulled my grandfather out of that cave. They ran as fast as they could, hearing the creature behind them. As soon as they passed the lake, the creature left them alone for some reason. They returned to the car the next morning and got out of there as fast as they could. My grandpa also mentioned something that he never told anyone before. That one night, he was asleep and woke up in the middle of the night feeling that something or someone was watching him. He pulled the curtains away, and there it was, the creature that followed them up to the lake. It ran away, not doing anything to my grandpa. Some years ago, when I was in the scouting program before I got my Eagle, I was at a scout camp in the woods of California. My troop and I were working on merit badges and the like, enjoying the outdoors and doing stupid stuff that scouts do, like locking people who didn't pee on trees in the porta potties and tying crazy knots. To this day, though, I remember being at the rifle shooting station with some of the kids in my troop and noticing a man sitting in the corner watching us all. He was an older man, with a big nose and a wide-brim hat. He was maybe mid-70s or so. The weird thing about him is that he would just stare at the scouts and mumble to himself constantly. I had no idea who he was, and neither did anyone else around there. We figured he must have been a part of, like, the troop or a staff member or something. We just figured he had some mental problems or something, and we just kind of disregarded him entirely. But throughout the week, we would see this guy just wandering around, and there was no real pattern to where he would be or who he would be with at any given time. One day, while we were waiting in line for our lunch, my troop and I, for whatever reason, began trying to sing Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti from The Sound of Music. I have no idea why, maybe we were trying to make our own version or something, but out of nowhere, this weird old man walks up to us and begins singing the song while he stared at us with an offsetting smile. We kind of sang along as he did before he finally walked off, and we all felt strange and began talking about something else. Not that he was dangerous, he just was creepy, and to this day I don't know who he was or what he was doing there. I even asked some of the staff members and they said they had no idea who he was, so I kind of just questioned why they didn't shoo him off. It's never really been clear what had happened. I was on a camping trip with my friends and family. I decided to go fish on the other side of the lake that we were at. For some reason, I didn't ask anyone to come with me, as I am a person who doesn't like to be alone. I did bring my three big German shepherds, though. They are sweet and very quiet. I had cast a new line with a worm on it. When one of my dogs ran off, I quickly got a holder for my rod and ran after him. While I ran into the wooded area, I heard my other two dogs yelp. Not knowing what to do, I call out for the other, while I go towards my yelping dogs. But when I got there, all three of my dogs were there, playing in the water like nothing had happened. Confused, I brushed it off as maybe they bit a deer. 3 or so hours later, I caught one fish. I hiked up to my campsite to see my mom and my friend. They looked pale as if someone died. When I got closer, I saw one of my dogs had been mauled. I didn't understand. I looked behind me and saw all three of my dogs trotting up the hill, soaking wet. A park ranger then drives up and asks if we were okay. I looked down again and the body was gone. My mom looked fine, and all the rest of my friends and family were back. I didn't understand. After that point, I woke up in my bed. My mom later explained I had fainted and had an anxiety attack. Well, that's my weird story. I don't know if it's any good, but it did scare the living crap out of me. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true camping stories. If you enjoyed these stories sent in by viewers just like you, be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share and hear in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Much love and appreciation to my friend, Lady Spookaria, who helped me read one of these stories today. If you enjoyed her voice, be sure to check out her link in the description down below and subscribe to her channel. It would mean a lot to me and her if you checked out her content. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be safe out there during this quarantine, my friends. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.